gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have life everlasting. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. If you notice in the bulletin, there isn't a sermon title, but if you wanted to pencil it in, the title of this sermon is "Secrets Don't Make Friends." Would you please join me in a centering prayer? God, our God, we cry out, your beloved needs you now. Draw us near, calm our fears, and speak your word that all people may hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mrs. Mao was a demanding yet fair teacher, the type of teacher that made English exciting to learn. So by the time that fifth hour had come around my freshman year of high school, I was ready for that class. And to make things better, I had a good friend named Al in that class. Al liked to talk quite a bit. And one day during class, Al wanted to tell me a secret. So he leaned over and cupped his mouth and whispered to me that secret. And Mrs. Mao saw what was going on, and she abruptly stopped her lesson. She looked directly at me and said, "Zach, secrets don't make friends. Secrets make people feel like they're alone and excluded. So why don't you share with the whole class and with me what Al just told you?" Well, I was stunned. I didn't want that kind of attention. And to make matters worse, I didn't even hear the secret. So I just sat there with a blank look on my face and nothing to say. And at some point in our lives, we have told a secret. Maybe we even told a secret this week, or maybe on the way to church this morning. And at some point in our lives, we've all heard a secret, a big one or a little one. Secrets aren't necessarily bad, but like Mrs. Mal said, secrets don't make friends. Secrets leave people out, making them feel excluded and alone. And as I read through John 3, 1 through 17, I kept hearing Mrs. Mal's words, "Secrets don't make friends." Nicodemus had shown up to talk to Jesus in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night is an odd time to have an appointment. So why would he do such a thing? Some scholars suggest it was because he was afraid to be seen with Jesus. The Pharisees wanted Jesus dead, and Nicodemus just happened to be one of them. The Pharisees thought that if you were seen talking with Jesus, you were one of his compatriots, and therefore, your life would be in jeopardy just as Jesus was. And in many ways, the Pharisees were thought to be the best people in the entire country. They were people above reproach. And so they couldn't be seen with a subversive rebel-rouser like Jesus without raising an eyebrow of suspicion. The Pharisees were also an elite group of people. In fact, at any given time, there were only 6,000 of them. There couldn't be any more than that. So they limited their numbers so that they could get the very best of the best. But not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee, Nicodemus was part of the inner circle of the inner circle. Nicodemus was a Sadducee. He was one of 70 judges that ruled over the Jews. Nicodemus was at the top of the social class. So Nicodemus had a good reason not to be seen with Jesus. And under the darkness of night, Nicodemus went to see Jesus, which might sound like he was trying to keep a very big secret. We must, however, be careful not to condemn him. The Bible has other examples of people who did not want to be seen with Jesus. Peter is an example of that. So if we were in Nicodemus's position, we too might be a little nervous about going to see Jesus, who the Pharisees were trying to kill. There might, however, be another reason why Nicodemus went to see Jesus in the middle of the night. Being a Pharisee and part of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus knew the Holy Scriptures very well. It's likely that Nicodemus actually had the entire Old Testament memorized, and so he could recite the Old Testament at the drop of a hat. To do so takes time, discipline, and concentration. So the Pharisees thought that the best time to put your mind to memorization was in the middle of the night. In a room lit by only a candle, there would be no distractions and no interruptions. All of one's mental faculties could be given to studying the law. So maybe Nicodemus had that same thought in mind when he went to see Jesus. During the day, people would gather around Jesus to hear him talk and to be healed by him. It may well be that Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night because he wanted an absolutely private and undisturbed time with Jesus. And if this is the reason why Nicodemus went to Jesus in the night, which I do think it might be, then it would be wise for us to do the same. I'm not suggesting that we only pray at midnight or read our Bibles only at 3 a.m. We pray without ceasing and we continuously read God's Word. What I am saying is that when we approach Jesus, when we pray, and when we read the Bible, we intentionally get rid of everything that might distract us, whatever that might be. Doing so isn't an easy task. It takes time, discipline, and concentration. Monks and nuns have dedicated their lives to dwelling undistracted in the presence of God, which is why they pray in the middle of the night, speaking to God and listening for God to speak. Nicodemus did it. The saints of the church have long done it. But we ought to do it too. And when we do, we will encounter the one who loves us so deeply that he has saved the world. A truth that is so wonderful, it has transformed our lives and will continue to transform our lives. What Jesus told Nicodemus in the middle of that night is no secret at all. Jesus told him a truth that is inclusive and welcoming. And that truth lies at the very heart of the gospel. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life eternal. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The truth in John chapter 3 tells us exactly who Jesus is, God's only Son. It also tells us another truth, that Jesus has won victory over death, graciously extending to us life everlasting. Not because we have earned our place before God, but because God has called us. In the middle of the night, with no distractions, Nicodemus learned the truth about Jesus, which is no secret at all. And since we know this truth, that God gave his Son to save the world, our responsibility is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't whisper it to one another from time to time. We tell the good news of the gospel with boldness, sharing with everyone who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished for us. In ninth grade, I got in trouble because of a secret. And since then, Mrs. Mao's words have stuck in my mind. Secrets don't make friends. And they don't make friends because secrets intentionally leave people out. The good news of the gospel is it is an inclusive love given for everyone. Nicodemus sets for us an example to come before God with no distractions. But unlike Nicodemus' midnight travels, the gospel is no secret. It is meant to be shared with everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Knowing the truth of Jesus, the truth that is the good news of the gospel, we cannot keep this secret. We proclaim the good news boldly, just as Jesus shared with Nicodemus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you now to lift your hearts with me in the prayer of intercession as we pray for the church, for the community of Peoria, and for all of creation. Please join me in prayer. Eternal God, we pray for the world, that through the reconciling love of Christ, our destructive and violent ways may cease, as you bless your human family with peace. We pray for the mission of your church, that empowered by your Spirit, we may proclaim the good news of the age, of the good news of the gospel in the world you so dearly love. Lord, we pray for all who suffer, that together with Christ in his suffering, we may find healing as he did, as he was raised and exalted in you. And Lord, we pray for your creation, that as it groans for its redemption, we may care for its well-being through the power of your life-giving Spirit. Lord, we remember before you those who have died, and pray for those who will die, that through your glorious redemption that ends all suffering, that they may rest with you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ and with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we praise you, O God, now and forevermore. Amen.